move away from the car, it gets stuck on me. I'll mention Jesus and I'll move again. It gets stuck on me. But the man didn't say anything. So when I prayed that prayer, I felt Christ just distinguishing me from those two burdens. And the force, the power that came from his body brought that bridge.
Awesome. So you heard that. Why is this Monica wasting time? I will exclude you. I don't know what you're doing. I told you to move and stand here and take the mic. And
okay, yesterday while we were praying, I remember that I used to tell people that I have parents, but I don't feel I have them that. I don't have this feeling of I have a parent. I always feel I'm an orphan. I always feel I'm an orphan because I don't see them in years, not even my siblings. At times I tell people that sometimes I feel I just came out from somewhere, like no one gave birth to me. And it made me at times to feel rejected, and even when I tried to. So while we were praying, I just felt as if something left me, and from that yesterday till now, there's this constant consciousness that keeps coming to my mind that my parents are somewhere and they love me and all of that. I've been wasted.
Okay, so this is not exactly personally for me, but while we were praying yesterday, I was asking God to remind me if there's any time I had said anything like that. And then he brought to my mind when my secondary school days, one of my teachers was very harsh, and he was about getting married. So I and a lot of my classmates said very nasty things. Like we actually laid curses on him and his wife. Things like they were going to be childless, or one of them would die along the way. Or I remember specifically what I said, that when the pastor says you may kiss the bride, and then he unveils his face, the lady's face, it will be a monster that will just swallow him up. So we said all sorts of bad stuff. And yesterday as I was praying, I was remembering, and it just dawned on me the weight of what I said. And I just imagined them being childless and having issues and just beating up themselves for something that is not even their fault, whereas it came from me. So I felt so, so bad. And I was asking God to forgive me. And then I saw this angel that was just standing on, like, not doing anything. But when I started asking for mercy and asking for forgiveness, as if the angel became active and then chased away a demon that seemed to have had a right because of the things that were spoken. So I thank God for that.
Did you hear that? You hear that, right? That's what happens when God intervenes. You know, with the same measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. The scripture says so. Some people get confused about that. Listen, things don't have to be measured in this life. It may be measured in the next. Yes. Your ability to believe these things you're hearing because God said so is what makes you a child of God that walks by faith. Your inability to believe these things is what makes you an unbeliever. And you have the portion of unbelievers when the time comes. This is how it works.
So while we're praying yesterday, the Holy Spirit brought to mind different things I had said when I was younger, of how I would never grow up, how I would never change, I would keep being weird, and how it had affected me. Then it also brought to mind how my father had said something of, as I grow up, I will tend to be stupid. And I realized that it had affected me in work and a lot of things, of how someone could tell me something I'm like, I've forgotten. Like, it's so annoying. Like, I could walk past here and I've forgotten the road back and everything. And when I was asking for mercy, I also heard I had measured the same. And I remembered how I would always say my brother is stupid and senseless, and how that made me react to my brother. So when I was asking for mercy, I saw an angel standing in front, and I saw him stretch out a sword and he divided our tongues. So after dividing it, he just stood afar and tongues started healing. Then I saw demons coming out of people's hearts, and it all formed a particular figure that kept turning until it fell. After, I think, Pastor shouted and the thing fell. So this morning, while I was rushing to come down here, the thought came to mind again, and I was wondering why the tongues were divided in half. Then this scripture, I think it was James, of how you can't bring life and death from the same mouth, and that the reason the tongue was divided was because we already had a forked tongue, so it had to be cut off and renewed. So I had an impression of new tongues being given.
You had said after it was divided that it was the angels to and what's why it healed.
Yes.
And became one tongue.
Yes.
Okay? So clearly, God distinguished between the good and evil, and then the left one. Now, you've just heard just 4 or 5 people. Now, I know there are many, many more hands. But because of time, write it, send it in. Okay? Share it. Share it on the hall. Share it on the halls. Let other people hear your testimony. But you see, just that small obedience last night, as I said, you can live till you die with these things. You live till you die. That will be your life. That will be the life that is your life. A life of pain, torture, whether it's due to that cruel teacher. Yes, they shouldn't have cursed him, but you see his actions acquired for him curses. Imagine if just one class cursed him like that. Imagine how many curses he has carried. If she goes and hunts down and searches and finds out about his life, you likely find that it's not good. The many ways. Do you know how many such things there are that comprise the composite of your life, a person's life? Now, if I was here saying what I said yesterday and you sat down and you didn't believe it, you went like, please leave. You see, that is why you will suffer. Because even when God comes and says, hey, opportunity to be delivered, help here, help here, help here, you say no and you scorn it. So what do you expect God to do? Jesus said to those Pharisees, he said, you will die in your sins. You will die in it. That doesn't mean you die tomorrow. It means till you die, your sins will be following you. And the consequences. This is reality. And these are the things that by God's grace, we get to hear and know and see. Let's say I came and stood here yesterday and said, I have a sermon to share. I'll not share. This passage I read to you yesterday, I had it yesterday. I came here to share this. This thing I'm reading here. I came here yesterday night to share this. If I have not practiced operating how remnant company operates, where you don't do what you want to do, but you must listen to the Spirit of God, I would have gone on ahead and shared what I came to share, and yesterday night would not have happened. And you carry your wahala. Every act you make, every choice you make, every decision can bring great, great, great deliverance. Watch therefore the choices. I can't say it strong enough. So let's say, for example, you went here last night. You have to explain. Because when will that door be opened again? You have to explain why you were not here. What that thing was. Was it what? Can it be compared? Remnant company. You learn to live and move in the place where the Lord Jesus and the Father are the light. Remember, your light, your directions, your decisions are made not from what you see. When our brother shared yesterday, as the devil went with the attack, fired the arrow of, you see, nobody loves you, you're still in this police cell. And he went like, no, I'm a Christian. No, it's not true. He came under the light of God's truth. Came under the light of God's truth. And that pushed back the darkness that was starting to envelop him. I've seen situations where the devil comes to people many times and begins to tell absolute lies. Nobody loves you. You heard the Monica just said, your family, and you just came. Look at that. And the devil does this to so many people. And they embrace it. There are people that once they come, they grab it, kiss it, cuddle up to it. They love it. It's like a teddy bear to them. and the darkness in their soul that arises because of those things. Why? Because the Lord is not your light. So how can he be your salvation? You have chosen to walk in the night. Those who think that this is not a battle, that the devil will not hit you all over, that is, the devil is going to say, leave him, John, leave him, Sha, leave him, leave him. In don't see light, leave him. You couldn't be more deceived. There's nothing like that. The quicker you know, we tell every new person and we insist. The quicker you understand as you turn to Jesus, the devil is coming after you. No. He has come. He is coming after you straight. The better it is for you. The quicker you understand, the better it is for you. Don't harm or hurt yourself by wasting opportunities. Remember, humility. Do you know there's no need to repeat things a lot to humble people? What for? When you said it, they heard it. And they made a choice to bow to it. Why do you need to keep saying it? Because of pride. Because as you're saying it, they are resisting it. They are resisting it. They are resisting it. And that's how I know God is very humble. That he says, say it again. I'm like, God, please now. There's this other message you gave me. He said, say it again. And you say it again. You come again, say it again. You want to tear your hair. Lord, why? Why should we say it again? Didn't they hear? He says, say it again. Since I should practice what I preach, I humble myself and say it again. Every single time you're given the chance yet again to make the right choice, to make the right decision, to decide what, and you choose wrong. All of it, then go back, show you when the day comes. So look, I gave a chance here. You squandered it. That's what happened to Israel in the wilderness. He looked at them and said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No. Shut the door to the promised land. Close it. Back. It's unfortunate, but this is still happening. 1 Corinthians 10. These things happen to them as an example for us. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Don't let the same thing happen to you. Don't make God count you down. Don't test the Lord your God. Don't let the door be shut. Don't die in the wilderness. That means you have the quality of life you have been having for the rest of your life. That will now be the quality of your life. Your experience that you have been complaining about will now be the norm for the rest of your life. Is it not better to humble yourself and come out of that experience into a new experience? That is the reason why the Lord is telling us today about the city of the Lord. It says, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. He's the Lord God of the prophets. He says, the Lord, the God who inspires the prophets. Let me advise all of you here something. It's not something that in a ministry like this is emphasized. I almost don't ever say these things, because there's something that seems self-commending about it and embarrassing, therefore, to me. But please, the sooner you advise yourself that most of what you hear said and done from this place, if not all, is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the sooner you advise yourself that the things that are said from this place are inspired by the Holy Spirit, the better it will be for you. The less you look at the human container, the less the hold of deceivers that pretends, even when God did not speak, that God spoke, the more you look at the fruits, you look at the proof, the better it is. In case my words have danced around so much that you don't still get it. When I stand here and speak, or I am ministering, whether I'm teaching, whatever I'm doing, and I'm doing it, it's wise. Presume it is God speaking to you through me, inspiring what I am saying first. Then if along the line, down the road, I don't know when, I don't know which year, you now see, oh, that thing was not God. Well, I guess pastor made a mistake. Or he was just lying through his teeth. Okay. Down the road. But when you hear it, presume God is speaking to you. It will help your whole life very seriously. Do not be inclined to perking up your ears when someone says, this morning the Lord spoke to me. Don't do that. I don't talk like that. So you can hear the word of the Lord that has been inspired. That I'm even still saying this. Yes, there are new people then, but there are old people that I think you still have a problem. As long as you are like that, I am not praying it. I'm informing you that you have issues. How do I know? I have seen it endless times. Endless. I have observed it so many times in so many lives. Unfortunately, I don't beat people over the head. Do what I said. I don't. If I did, if I compelled harsh realities, it might have been easier for people. But I don't, and I won't, because that's not the God way. So on your own, you hear your brother or your sister when something is said, and they casually express disbelief in it, either by their words or their actions. If you love them, tell them, do you think you are wise? Did you not hear what was said? Because there's just, I keep calling it unnecessary suffering in people's lives. Totally unnecessary. And it's rooted in this, that they did not believe the words I spoke by the Holy Spirit when I spoke it. They went, pastor said, and what they don't say out is that, but that's his opinion. So you just carry crosses. And the pastor in me, unlike the prophet who can deliver his word, boom, and walk away. The pastor in me is this one that comes after and explains these things. That's the pastor in me that he seems too big. If he was less and there was more prophet, then there wouldn't be any explanation. After I say it, the evidence. The only difference is sometimes I think in the future I'm going to tell stories more. I can't tell. Did you hear that thing I said last week? It happened to this person. Stand up, stand up. There's one prophet man. He does it in his church. Stand up. Where's the, stand up. Do you see? You just talk. Who has heard this kind of preachers before? They just point out. They prove their illustrations. I could do that every week of an unbeliever that when I talk, they decide that, well, I'm not in the mood to believe it today. They won't come and tell the consequences. Very few ever come and tell you the consequences. I didn't believe what pastor said. This happened to me. They will not. Pride will not allow. Some the same day or the next day. Repeatedly. It has been like that for years. Whether it is short-term consequence, whether it is long-term. Some going to long-term consequence for months, some for years. Whatever version you hear out there, you may hear, oh, what happened here? What happened there? That's the story you know. If when you wait, either I'll tell you or in the age to come, they will show you what happened for real. And you're going to. And I always wonder, do you want to wait till we're in the next age before you believe me and say, wow, you're a man of God. Just I used to wear jeans. But I think God called you. I've decided after analyzing the. Don't do that to yourself. Like I said, this is the pastor in me talking to you. Default to believing. Default. Let your default setting be, I believe, I believe, I believe. God, help my unbelief. That other thing that comes to you and says, well, let's check it first. Why did he say that? Why should he say that? Should he say that? Slap it and tell it, leave me alone. Because it doesn't end well when you go in that direction. Wisdom dictates the contrary. You have questions? Who has a question that hasn't passed it in? Read, please.
Okay. How can someone stop being double-minded?
Did I preach about double-mindedness just the other day? Was it here? Where were you? That person that asked that question. What? Is that an online question?
Yes, sir.
That person is not part of God's lighthouse. Is a visitor. What's the message? What's the title? Send the person the title of the message where I just spoke about double-mindedness just a few days ago. Yes, next.
Please, about experiencing darkness in our journey. I remember a message you taught on day and night seasons. Today you mentioned how sin is responsible for night seasons. Please, sir, what is the balance?
All right, so good question. I've said sin can result in night seasons, and the person is saying, remember a message where you said day and night, as long as the earth remains. So this is the difference. As long as you are in the earth dimension of your life, they will continue to be day and night. As long as you are earthly minded, there will be ups and downs, left and right. When you mature, like Paul, in all situations, whether you are base or abound, you will be content. You will have light in the darkness. Do you understand? Who is blind but my servant? Isaiah chapter 50 talks about. You will live in a state of contentment. You'll be okay if you set your mind on things above. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When you are earthly minded, there'll be day and night. Ah, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through. You're like a skipping disc. Someone can make a, what do you call it? Mixtape from what you go through. Going through problems in my life. I'm going through. And it seems to you like you're always going through. And I'm informing you that the reason for those constant night seasons in your life is not normal. As long as you say, no, it's like that. Enjoy. That's your choice. Or you choose to believe and ask, please, how? It's when you have Christ as your light. Your eyes are on Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus does not dim. Your eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the one who began and will end your journey. For the joy that was set before him. He was being beaten, being thrashed, being attacked, contradicted. You keep your eyes on the light. You always have light. But once you turn and look at the beating, look at the problems, look. You've turned your back to the light. You're in the dark. So you will still have troubles on this earth. Tribulation. It's natural. That's not what we are talking about. There will be ups and downs in your life in terms of situation. But your spiritual condition, your state, your walk of faith, the paths of righteousness which you have put your foot on, you will not turn out of it to the left or to the right. You will stay on it. Though you pass through the valley of the shadow of the dead, you will fear no evil. Why? because he's with you. Though you are passing through it, he's with you. So he's your light in the darkness. Are you getting? People look at you, oh, I heard what happened to you. You say, well, you thank God. It's not about saying you feel peace. You have rest in your soul. You have joy still in that thing. It doesn't crash. Nothing crashes your faith. Because you have learned to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Looks like a shadow, but it's of the Almighty, and God is light, and in him there's no darkness. The shadow of the Almighty is not dark.
Is it okay for a remnant to marry a non-remnant?
Your problem. Your problem. It's your personal problem. Get ready to endure what non-remnants endure. Now listen, the Bible says you marry. Let me be more specific. You should marry in the Lord. You are meant to marry in the Lord. There are other people in the Lord that are not in the remnant company. But just by even marrying, 1 Corinthians 7 says, you will have troubles. You have troubles. Are you hearing? The further away you marry from people who fear God. Listen, someone is not in the remnant because he's in a church that is remnant. I hope my explanation this morning was clear. Every kind of creature can stray onto this space. However, there are those who, well, the answer to this, I'm presuming this person is a new person because go and get the teachings on the daughters of Zelophehad. And I explain from the scriptures what happens when you marry outside the Josephite tribes, the remnant company tribes. What happens is that if you lose part of your inheritance, your experience, your enjoyment, so your heart could stay with the Lord, but you will lose some things. Of course, on a typical Sunday, you sit down and possibly half of the meeting you're in will be torture. You know, and so on. You will hear things that you shouldn't be hearing. There will be taught things that are false. There will be a mixture. Just the experience that the top of this lectern provides is what will be your experience. So half of the time, you know, your spouse might be bowing the knee. They worship Baal half of the time. You know, they're running after money. Just it's a mixture. The Israelites, they call on the God of Israel, but they also, so there's a double-mindedness that dwells here. The remnant company are those that have said, I will not be double-minded. I will not bow the knee or kiss Baal. I will not. I will not follow Israel and do the things they do. I will not be unjust in judgment when they eat the leaven of Herod, of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees. I will not join and eat it. I will not be a hypocrite. I will not contradict. So you have problems. So can you picture your spouse? Of course, like many non-remnant types. You know, take notes. Please listen to me, because there's always someone that will be nodding when they should be frowning. There's someone, every time I say remnant, they say, yes, that's me. And you are not among at all. There are many groups around the world. They believe they are remnant in thinking. They are not. They are secluded. They call it remnant. It's not remnant, nothing. You secluded yourself, separated, called everybody else Babylon, and secluded yourself. Of course, if you've been here, you've heard me say that for years. Why do you think we can worship with almost any group? We can go almost anywhere and worship. We are not, that's not how many so-called remnant people think. They don't even know. They don't understand. They stay with themselves. Homosexuality. Sect. You remember the message on different sects? They suffer from homosexuality. They only join to their sect. Are you part? Oh, okay. You're one. Okay. Brother. Meanwhile, infighting is day and night. Day and night, infighting, trouble. You're not special because you've gone aside. That doesn't make you remnant at all. I've seen people that believe they are remnant. If you see the way they feed on the leaven of Herod, you can't believe it. If you see how they take sides. I've told you I've been in a meeting and I'm expecting, they said, oh, we are going to pray and fast for 2 weeks. About Nigeria election. From day one, I was so shocked. That was a rude awakening in my soul, in my life. Oh God, I was like, thank God, spiritual people, they are going to inquire for the Lord's will. And day one of a 14-day prayer meeting, they were rattling off things. Me, that God taught me, he said, when something is about to happen, come and ask me for my will. I'm like, from day one. You didn't even just say, let's just worship the Lord and bless God for Nigeria so far, for how God has kept. Dear God, from day one. So immediately, all the leaders in my eyes, I told them, eh? Oh God. By the end of day one or day two, I decided I would not be part of that. It was torture. I was in pain. I had the choice of either saying something and saying, please, brethren, you're missing it. Or I have the choice of saying nothing. But how can I come and gather to pray for 2-3 hours and I stand there and say nothing throughout? What kind of waste of time is that? It's better you're sleeping. So I stayed away for 1 week. I came back after 1 week to see if they have repented. It was worse. In fact, I saw someone try to say something. Well, let us... The reaction, that's, I was like, see demons. That's how you know someone is under his spirit. I'm like, look at that reaction. Look at the anger. Look at the wrath. Look at... I stayed away till the prayer has finished. Have they finished? And I came back. If you are truly in the remnant company, God will tell you that he raises kings and he puts them down. And he will tell you that he puts over nations, even the basest of men. And he will not tell you things that amount to lies. And someone stood there and said, God said this will never happen. In my mind, I was wondering, if God said it will never happen, then why are you bothered about it? God said this person, it was Buhari. They said, Buhari will never be president in this country, will never rule. The man became president within a month. From when this, they were very serious with great confidence. We never, God had said, there's this vision. When I heard it, I now followed one leader home one day after a Sunday meeting. I said, sorry, this thing, I like to know, what was that prophetic word? Because I like to hear what God has said. Like, it sounded from what we were sharing that there's a word that someone gave that said this. The summary is that that wonderful gentleman, very nice man, normally any given day, said to me when I left. And we're talking, I was smiling, I said, okay. And I told the person, which is something rare. God had spoken to me and I said, okay, because God had actually spoken to me that he would. The gentleman sent me a message after that. He said, please, I don't ever want to have such a conversation. Okay. Buhari became president, as I had been foretold. One day, this nice gentleman sent a text to my wife, saying, see what your husband has caused. I stretched. I'm like, that's where I knew I had power. Latent powers, which I must use more. So when you want a local government chairman, just come to me. I remember telling the man when we had spoken, I said, I am not saying he should be. I'm just asking that I heard like this accusation, like some of those things that person said in the prayer meeting. I heard that it wasn't so. These things were flying all over Nigeria. He was not even president. Look at the dates when this happened. So how did he do it? How could he have been responsible for doing this when he was not president till 3-4 years later? Like, how do we just throw out things? I mean, they will put out one thing after another. I don't know if any of you were aware then. There was something on AIT. That was flying. These were the things flying all over Nigeria. After a while, the man now responded. You know, at least his campaign team, they put out, this is when this happened. This is when this happened. This is the year. You go and check. This is when this riot happened. He was not present. This is when this happened. This one, like one thing after another. And people had already spread it everywhere. They kept saying it. And then I came across all different things. I'm like, God, that I have noticed that whenever someone has to lie against someone to win an argument, usually that person is dishonest. Do you know how to settle? One of the easiest ways to know who is wrong and right in a situation, look for who is lying. Are you hearing me? If you're right, why do you need to lie? The moment someone is telling lies, you have zoomed in likely to the guilty party. It's not complicated. That you have to create lies to hold up your position. Abba, you're the sinner now. Why are we wasting time? So when you see people telling lies, and I just look, I say, you have to. The more they did it, the more I went like, no, that means this man has something good. Because if you can't find things to say against him, you have to find, like, create multiple lies. But if someone does not need to do more than throw a stone into a bush and hear, ow! Any direction you throw, you have hit something. Are there people like that? You don't understand. Are there governmental leaders that it doesn't matter which direction you pick a small stone, you don't throw it, boom, you hit something. Every direction, they are corrupt everywhere. There's nothing like they need to search and dig up. One time they said you were corrupt. There was this time. There's no such need. It's in everyone's face. At the time, you have to dig so hard, convolute things and tell lies. And as I heard these things, and heard from people I trusted more that were known for honesty, and heard things that were provable. Oh, when he was president before, he had 11 Southerners in his cabinet, and he was a military president, and 9 Northerners, when he had absolute power. For those of you that didn't meet military rule, the first governor of Akwa Ibom State, the early ones, their names were things like Baku, Abe, Ebiye, Adeusi, very briefly. Are those Akwa Ibom names? What happens in military regimes is that you post anybody to the place. You don't take people from the place. You send people from anywhere. So the man could have packed people from just his village, military men, and sent to rule all. And why you stress how partisan he is? Why did he have more Southerners in power when he had absolute power as a military ruler? And this is in the early 80s. Abba, there must be a variation to your story. That's my point. So these are the things I said. I went like, so sad. So if, and the man said, I don't want, as if not fight, invite. And the beautiful, calm, gentle wife got so angry that the husband said that, honey, no, darling, don't. The reaction, the response, the violence, the fruit, all the fruit I had seen from them before, they threw it away. So my point, they didn't throw all the fruit. My point is that this was so uncharacteristic. So I realized there was something bigger. Hatred and all those. And how can that be the Holy Spirit that is bringing hatred out of you? What is inspiring this from you? And if nothing else was the evidence was in what happened eventually. You said that God said it will never happen. Did God lie? Said that God, he said, it will never, ever, ever, it will never happen. He told me something different. Why? Because I hadn't eaten your leaven of Herod. I'm non-partisan. I don't have leanings and I don't carry hatred in my heart for them. I've refused to listen to lies over the years. You have listened to lies. Even if you're non-partisan, you have listened to lies. When you listen to lies, it will change you and you will not hear the voice of the Lord. When the Lord speaks, you will not hear it. You will hear something else. It will be corrupted. That's what happens when you've been listening to lies. I think the same about everything. Is it marriage? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God? No. Does it mean if someone is a Christian, we cannot use God? Gave us our senses. God gave us our senses. Use your senses. I formed a habit long ago of not trusting my senses, except for earthly matters. When it comes to matters that transcend earth, I combine my senses, Shifa, you know, with God. What say you? I prefer tall. What say you? I prefer dark. I prefer fair. I prefer. You can wax a song. How do you combine this with what say you? Let me leave this, Pastor Joe. There are teachers that teach that whatever you ask for, exactly. Have you not read the book? The woman listed 10 things. I want a husband that 1, 2, 3. He loves music. He's this, he's that, he's that, he's that. And God gave all. What I just said is from a book called The Fourth Dimension. It's a real thing. David Paul Yonggi-cho. And all over the earth, Christians go like, isn't God good? How many of you think that there's one of them that sat down, God, the kind of life I want to live? Imprisonment, torture, torment. How many of you think there's anyone that prayed for? Huh? How did Paul have you read Paul's CV before? How did Paul have that one? Who can tell me what happened? Paul asked for it. Oh, it's true, he did. He asked for the fellowship of his sufferings. So God said, be it unto you according to your Abby. Continue like that. See where you end with that kind of belief. Jesus asked for it. Did Jesus specifically ask, Father, please, if he pleases you, please, can you remove this cup from me? Was it removed? What more evidence do you need? Whose prayers get answered like Jesus' prayers? Is there anyone here? God answers your prayer more than Jesus. I don't think so. None of you have your prayers answered. Jesus said, I know you hear me always. But even the Lord Jesus, there are areas where, no. So anyone that tells you that whatever you want in this world, you have, is lying. The Bible does not say that. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. So can you consider that lady that got the 10 points she wanted, that God put those thoughts or words in her heart, as opposed to it just being what she wanted, that God worked in her, that God can work in someone to will and to do his good pleasure? Why didn't we come from that angle, since it's scriptural? Why do you come from this angle that says whatever you want, you have, when the scripture is clear about the conditions required for your getting whatever you want? If you're telling people that in this world, they will always get whatever they want, has that been your experience, you that is teaching it? Then why do you teach it? Is that not falsehood? These are the errors people make. So sometimes God did something, but because they don't have grace to teach properly, they misinterpret what happened. Do you understand? And you come and tell people, instead of saying, I told her, list down. Maybe I can't remember the full story. Maybe he said, prayerfully list out the things you want. And it's possible as she was praying, God was inspiring things in her heart. And she noted it down. God said, fine. Or once in a while, I know God does that. Even though God didn't care about it, God can say, okay, anything, I'll give you. Does God ever do that? Yes, he has a right to. But to now say that you should only experience what you want, that's a lie. Do you understand? As long as the earth remains, day and night, seed time and harvest, cold and heat will exist. Don't tell people you will always be warm. It's a lie. That's not faith. That's falsehood. The God that makes all things said there's a time for everything. Agree with him. There will always be peace. It's a lie. For now, there is a time for war and there's a time for peace. Any other teaching is a lie. This is the truth about this matter. So about marriage, daughters of Zelophehad, was that the question I was still answering? I would suggest you ask God. God can send you to someone, but remember, when he's talking about politics, well, so it's not that hard. You say, well, I think we should allow God to decide. Let's just pray that God's will be done. And he says, what do you mean? Don't you have eyes? Why did God give you a brain? And you say, well, okay, fine. But part of the idea is that I prayed and I saw a vision of this other person that you oppose becoming president. Ha. If he says, okay, well, let's see how it goes. But I don't like him. What kind of bad president? Then you realize that God can raise someone just to punish a people. Don't you know? Don't you know God allows people into office? When God allowed Nebuchadnezzar come and rule over Israel, over Judah, how is that nice? Why should a foreign nation rule us? Jeremiah kept prophesying it. It offended them so much. But it came to pass. Why? Because he was right. Because God had decided to. God had said in Jeremiah 27 that he, God, has made Nebuchadnezzar a king of kings to rule over other kings. And that any nation that struggles with him will suffer. And the nation that does not struggle will have peace. Other nations were even told by Jeremiah. God sent him to tell other envoys from other nations. His own nation refused to listen to him and therefore suffered. You may not know it, but there are people in Nigeria that knew that when Buhari becomes president, there will be many opportunities for business, and they grabbed it. If you know how many new millionaires they have arisen in Nigeria in the last 7 years. Multi-million, billion businesses. If you know how many, you'll be afraid. In the Nigeria you used to talk nonsense about. In the last 7 years, the best life they've ever had has happened. And some were prepared for it. And that's what happens. When you're prepared for something, that's what happens when you listen. That's what happens when you listen to the prophets that are speaking the mind of God. The opposite happens when you don't listen, when you attack them. They attacked Jeremiah and they ended up being among the nations that they killed so many of them and dragged them off into slavery and killed their king and killed his children. And there was so much pain. Those that were taken the earlier time that Daniel and the rest had a calm, royal life. The others suffered greatly. They suffered greatly. It is better to roll with God. God, what say you? So in marriage, they are husbands or wives that will say, okay, they will not oppose you. They will allow you. They will even say, don't mind my wife. Don't mind my wife. My wife is on the other side, though. That's her own. So you could be at peace. Do you understand their husband? Then they are the ones that will fight you, that will hate you for it, that will detest you, that will command you and say, come on, you must agree with me. We will not be in this house and be in disagreement. Father God, I'm saying, everyone who is not a Christian that attempts to sit on the seat of governance in Nigeria, let him die by fire. Now, what will you say as you kneel down there and you're having devotions together? What will you do? You say amen. I hope you're understanding me. Is it complicated? It's not complicated at all. That is why proper teaching is important. And that is why I advise people in this small remnants group. When you see someone that says, I want to, Ifeoma, I want to marry you. Give me your love. Tell him, Emeka, if you want to marry me, come meet my pastor. I don't want to keep singing before someone backslides. I'm hearing all the lyrics. It is all lining up. Tell them, in our church, before you marry, these are the messages you must listen to. One, two, among those messages, better put the living of Herod, Pharisee, all of that. Then make sure you have extensive discussions about it. So what do you think? What do you think? Tell me the truth. What do you think? Then give them that message where I said, if you come and pretend here, so you catch a girl, you die young. The only time I ever cursed someone, the only time, is that you come on here, you drag on a ship floating, when under your teeth are sharp, you get dentures. And learn to say, meh. When you're a wolf, I tell you, stay away from here. You can come and sit, but don't come and pretend. Don't do it. Male or female, don't do it. Don't pretend. Be real. Disagree with me. Multiple opportunities. If they are never free, come. What you cannot disagree in public, come to private. Disagree when we meet. I will never be offended that you disagree. What I will be expecting is that at least you're willing to believe in scripture. So when we look at it in scripture, But if you see in scripture and say, I don't care. This thing I'm reading, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. Then I can tell you, betrothed. I hope you found out that they don't care what God says. Because if they don't care what God says in one area, they will likely not care in the other area. And they will not be caring like that. So you take in, and someone will say, or you took in, or your spouse, your husband, and they will say, please, we can't have any more children. Please, please, we need to evacuate. As though there's war and you're packing things to run. You need to evacuate. You mean abortion? Whatever you call it. We can't have another child. And you realize you don't think alike. After you've married, I say, listen, if you have that child, you raise it alone. Have husbands done this before?
Yes, sir.
So when you go and marry a creature that looked like Christian. Now your problem with that, too. My job, you should have made him listen to the messages on abortion. Because people, remember, they didn't grow up spiritually on sound doctrine. They grew up on all sorts of other things. How do you expect them to think like you? So many people, especially the hasty ones, most of that mind change, you want it to happen when they come and join you? Really? Don't you think they should change how they think before? Now, you can't change everything. Let's be honest. It's not possible. How long did it take your own mind to change? You have to give them time. But the sooner you get on it, the better. And your pastor at least is supporting you. And I've said, you tell them, especially if he's a guy. You tell them. But of course, girls are very tough. So forget whether it's a guy or a girl. But tell them, no, these are the conditions. You know how different churches tell people to do different things. This is the one they will tell you to do in our own church. They'll tell you to listen to these messages and respond, write, say what you think. It means you read Bible a lot. It means all of that. If you don't agree to do it peacefully, I'll add fasting. Add fasting, long fasting, 100 days. Thank God for Redeemed Church. They've trained Nigerians to fast. So I'll put long fasting on it to compel you, give you passages. This is our own marriage preparation. I've told you about Pastor Patrick. He has changed his name, Patrick Grace Henry. No more Patrick, that's Patrick Grace Henry. And, you know, he says, you know, a relative told me that he said, if you will marry someone in his church, you must undergo thorough, you must go through a thorough school of this. There's a program, he has something that you must go through, like a Bible school. If you don't go through it, forget it. Won't marry you. Forget it. Don't bother. Go. He said, no problem. Anybody can marry you. You can still worship here. Anybody can marry, but not me. If I'm going to marry you, that the things he has seen and heard. And that's what anyone that has passed or that has eyes to see, you know, after a while, you're like, eh? Do I want to really sit over this car fiasco. And when they talk, they say, he's our pastor. No, I don't want it. So let's be very, very careful. In the area of marriage, it's not about someone. They have someone that doesn't appear. He doesn't pray in tongues loudly. It's not about any of that. It's about the heart. So I don't think there are enough remnants for people to marry, but there are Christians that are calm. Do you understand? Yes, to be honest, I don't think there are enough remnants to go around. I cannot deceive you now. Half of you sitting inside here may not be remnants, real remnant type. It's not hard. They look at you, how you behave, how you respond to truth. So am I going to pretend now a remnant be this? This one has not kissed Baal. No, some of you have never been tempted with Baal yet. I keep telling you. Some of you, when Baal comes, you kiss it. I've prayed against it. I've walked. It's why we are here this morning. We pray against, you know, but some people, it's still your choice. So some people will say, I beg, leave that thing. Leave that thing. God will forgive me. Have you heard Christians say, I'll do something and God will forgive me? No, there are people that will kiss Baal. You bow to the system. When you join that workforce, that place, and they tell you, everybody does this, so you do it. It's just that you haven't been tempted yet. You look at the salary, 1.2 million. Either you do or you lose the job. And you say, don't worry, the grace of God is sufficient. You may even find a pastor. There are many that will support you. And they say, no, 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 no. A pastor said, big man of God in this nation. He said, people say blood money. Bring the money, you wash it with the blood of Jesus. Not blood money, just corrupt money. If you know who said it, you won't be shouting. Say, bring it, you wash it with the blood of Jesus. Terrible things. So you find a pastor to help you. That man of God has many sons and grandsons, very many. They don't mind. But this man of God, who hopes to be amongst a remnant company, will say, no, let's be poor together. Leave it. Don't touch that. Question, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you going to cheat and lie and oppress people to be wealthy? Are you going to even do terrible things like some have done? You have a boss, he's talking to you, and then he puts his hand over your shoulder, and his hand is a bit too low. You're wondering, is he trying to touch my breath? And but you don't want him to get angry, so you won't lose this job, which since you got, your family has been able to rent a nice place in Lagos. So you say, sir, and you move away, instead of, please, sir, because you're terrified. Have husbands told wives to even sleep, allow. I'm not talking about careless touching. I'm talking about sleeping with them so they will continue to be financially comfortable. I'm asking a question. Don't say if you don't know. Do you know husbands have told their wives, what, please, madam, don't tamper with our lifestyle. Don't tell me about it, but please, don't tamper with it. Are there husbands like that? They are. If there are parents that can encourage their daughters to sleep outside, then there are husbands that can encourage their wives to sleep out to maintain for them political or provisional opportunity. All has happened. For money. All right, I've said enough about that. I just want you to know that I don't think there are enough perfect, but I think there are those that at least, the basic, at least they want to oppose you. At least they know what to do. That's why I pity, especially for sisters, since they tend to be the head of the family. I pity, since they are under the head of the family, I pity sisters who, when they are being courted, and I've said this thing before, and I'll say it again for the one or two new people. If when you're being courted, your views are not known, your values are not known on anything, and then when you, after you marry, you plan to, I've told you, don't call my number, call my wife. You plan. You plan to. Hello? Hello? This is your plan. Huh? This was your evil plan, which I reject in Jesus' name. Pastor. Pastor, what I'm about to tell you, you not believe. Pastor, my husband says you have an abortion. That this one is too close to the last child. That the other one is just one. That I can't take him again. That he wants to space. Every two or three. I've said we should use family contraceptives. He said no. If I take him, that is it not just a pill? Is it not just tablets? Is it not just simple injection? That I should be aborting. Don't call me. That your discussions, your gist, never got there before you married. Carry your wala, shift. As you say it. Sorry, I'm busy. I feel like taking my wife out to Ijishewu later. You know, as I grow older, my marriage will get better and better and better and better, nicer and better. Yeah. So, I'll rub it in your face. Rub it in your face. You somehow didn't get around to discussing this for marriage. Oh, you wanted to marry. You answer God. You know, your husband has never heard a message of the Avenger of Blood. Because somehow you didn't. You are apologetic. I see it, oh. I see it with people. You are apologetic about me. You remember me. You remember me. You apologize for me, for what I teach. At Judgment Day. You don't get a stick out. You don't be next to you as they are judging you. So didn't your pastor tell you? You didn't know taking life, that the life is in the blood. If he didn't know, you didn't know. Yeah, but the Bible says you should obey your husband and all things. And you know my teaching about after you become a wife, you better obey your husband in case you don't know, in case you're new here. If you think you have any support here. Huh? Go home and obey your husband. I've told you, I will buy, if you flew down, I'll give you ticket. I'll fly you back. I'll fly you back. May not be because of you, I buy a private jet. Fly you back. Drop you back myself. Just buy this small Cessna. Just land on a street near your house. Go down, mother. Oga, well done. Your wife came to visit. I brought her back. Take care of her. Muna try. Muna try. You like, don't have sense before you marry. Come and have sense. Reality. I didn't know. I take time to tell you reality long before. When they do you for body. Tame it. Be spiritual. If it's worrying you, pray much. Be a prayer warrior. God, I commit this man into your hand. Speak to him, Lord, please. You have told me he's the one, or I'm not sure if he's the one. Lord, make sure, oh God, if it's not you, take him away. As opposed to God, please, please, I can't wait no more. Can't wait no more. God, now or never. And God's like, you will allow me to finish cooking him. Won't let me finish cooking her. She never done. So, sorry, non-English speakers. She never done. Say, no, sir, please. I can't wait no more. I'm burning. You won't find water and enter. Be wiser. Grow up. Learn truth. Help yourself to be. Let them know. Don't hide. Don't hide your beliefs that you're hiding. Someone will be putting falsehood in your face and you keep quiet and say, that's your own. That's your own. Say, hey, me, I don't like arguing. That's why when we were not married yet, when he used to say, I didn't know it would be an issue now. You didn't know everything someone believes will that at some point in life, you would likely come up. You didn't know his beliefs about money. have any effect? You didn't know. When it takes all your life savings and puts into something that is a prophetic word about that, it will crack. When he takes all your life savings, dumps it into where you are sure it will disappear. You watch, you suffer with him. It's for better or for worse. You're going to watch, oh God, darling, oh God. You did what? All? Brace yourself. Get a piece of land. Start planting. Go and get a job. Hurry as a saleswoman. Find a job fast in advance. Start looking for a job. Rouse yourself to the occasion. Do not sit down and say, God will provide. Why? Because you're about to, as he puts it 2 weeks later, bagam, you guys are pending and you say, honey, didn't I tell you? And someone here will sit there. I'll just shout like this. I'll just sit on the ground and cry. After that, when you stand up and eat, with the children not eat, that shouting doesn't mean anything. Respect your husband. Women, respect your husband. You cannot be shouting at your husband. Eh? It's called leadership. Follow. I'm not joking. You don't disrespect your husband. Yes, he lost all the money in the house. Yes. He gambled away. He called it investment. That's what they call it. Investment. It's not gambling. God forbid gambling. Gambling is not Christian. Where you put your money in situations where you have no idea of how it will come, whether it will come back or not. The Christian phrase is invest. How dare you gamble? We are Christians, yeah? Don't say that. I invested in a yo-yo. What do you invest in? You gave money for them to buy yam and come and sell? No. You gave money. They say that there's a possibility that something may come out of something that someone put into something. That there's a futuristic expectation from a metaverse that if you... maybe something will come out. People have testimonials about things coming out from putting something where nothing was. People are buying and selling things based on